This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, it is a gorgeous morning here, ready for some Saints football, kicking off at noon on WWL and the Odyssey app. First Take brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. We're going to be going until 10 a.m. That's when the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon will take off. Take over, I should say. We're here in the Caesars Superdome on the Loge level, Gate B in the mezzanine. And you can feel the energy starting to build up for this matchup. The workers starting to gather in. The gate's still not yet open, Jeff, for the patrons to be coming in for the black and gold. Although, I'm interested to see what this crowd is like, because I wasn't sure last week exactly, even though it was the Falcons in town, how much of a black and gold fan presence we were going to see. But it was a good showing.
It was a good showing. It was a good, especially, you know, this is a team that's on a 7-game losing streak last week, and these guys, the fans show up, they're loud. You know, they affected the game. There were a couple procedural penalties on the Falcons that I think you would point to and say the noise affected them. And so, you know, they make a difference, and it's cool to see a crowd that'll show up and be like that. Even for a team that has lost 7 consecutive games, their longest losing streak in a quarter century, right? But I think you'll get that again this week. And you know, I think this is going to be the first time in a while a lot of these fans are going to walk in here and expect a win.
Looking at the matchup, and Joe Woods gets to have a rematch. Well, not a rematch, a revenge game.
We can call it a revenge game.
Well, that's going to be the first cut I get into, so I didn't want to kind of like over-tease it.
You can over-tease it. We already said he's not going to claim it, but I'll claim it for him.
Right. Joe Woods was the defensive coordinator in Cleveland, ended up getting axed. He comes here now in New Orleans, was under Dennis Allen. Well, with Dennis Allen getting axed, he is now the guy calling the plays. But he was asked this week, leading up to the game, is this a Joe Woods revenge game?
Not at all, man. I find memories of Cleveland for a couple of years. My family still lives up there. But I love Kevin. Have great respect for him. View him as a friend. You know, it was unfortunate what happened there, but that's just the nature of football. But I'm definitely not looking at it as a revenge game. It's just the next game.
Just the next game.
Just
and
the next game.
I think that's pretty much how the players look at it, too, and we're always talking about, oh, it's so-and-so's revenge game.
You know, I that's one of the times where, like, I don't want to accuse people of lying, but, like, when people say, oh, it's just the next game, it's like, yeah, I know you say that, and that's the phrasing, and that's what you're trying to convince yourself, but it's like, this can't be just the next game.
But in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking, hey.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, and I understand, like, you're not going to throw that out there, like, oh, yeah, you know, because then that becomes bulletin. You don't want to give the other team bulletin board material. But at the same time, like, I don't buy for a second this is just another game, right? Like, when you go against a team that fired you, it is not just another game. You know, you can't allow that. You know, you still have to do your job. You still have to approach things as you would in terms of, like, you know, okay, I can't be making decisions like, this is the Browns, I'm going to do this instead of, you know. So I don't buy that in terms of, I do buy that in terms of, okay, like, you need to make the right decisions as you would any other week. But his family's flying in, right? Like, this, when you get fired by a team, you want to put one on them. There's no question in my mind.
Sure, it's like breaking up with somebody. You know, when you see them,
you want to win
like,
the breakup.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like, I'm over it. Yeah, you're never really over it. Like,
oh, good to see you.
It could be 20 years. That ex strolls back into town, and it's like, I'm winning. You know, I better be winning this, or otherwise I'm going to go the other direction. I don't want that to happen at all.
Well, an ex we hope isn't winning today is Browns quarterback now, Jameis Winston. And Joe Woods talked about that matchup against the QB.
You know, Jameis is a big quarterback. I mean, he got a strong arm. He can make all the throws. And I really went back and watched the games. And he's playing really well. I saw him make some incredible throws. You know, he left a couple out there. But for the most part, man, he did a nice job. So I'm sure, you know, I don't know how he feels about us, but I'm sure he's going to be ready to go for this game.
You know Jameis is going to be ready to take on this team, and I think we've talked about this before, Jeff, definitely on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. A little bit of that angst towards the Saints is taken off with the firing of head coach Dennis Allen, you feel like.
Yeah, I have to imagine. Like, if he was resentful toward anybody, it would be the guy who benched him, right? Like, I mean, come on. You know, Jameis isn't walking in here being like, I really want to put one on Alvin, you know? Well, Cam Jordan, that guy.
Right.
No, it was – so, yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, it's like, hey, this is the team that you were supposed to get an opportunity with, and you know, be it by a knee injury, be it by a benching, be it by whatever, you never really got that full season chance to, you know, lead this team. And that's got to be frustrating. You know, he came here in 2020, he sat for a year behind Drew. He had that chance in 21, and then obviously that ended on this turf against the Bucks. So
yeah.
Devin White taking him down with a horse collar and a traumatic knee injury, right? So, no, he'll have motivation, but, you know, that's kind of the thing. I don't know if that's going to be positive for Jameis, you know, because I think when you're a quarterback, that revenge narrative, it doesn't always benefit you because you have to play under control.
Right.
And, you know, and if Jameis wants to make these throws.
Too emotional.
Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
And that's been his you know, biggest issue throughout his career. Whether you want to say, like, oh, he's been better about the interceptions or not. When Jameis protects the ball, he's a good quarterback. When he gives the ball away, he's not a good quarterback. It really is that simple, and it's the decision making. And even just his two games with the Browns, his two starts with the Browns, you've seen
yin
both
and yang,
sides
right.
of that coin. Like, you've seen, hey, a 3-touchdown, 0-interception performance against the Ravens, and they win that game. And you see a 1-touchdown, 3-interception performance against the Chargers, and they lose that game. And the way Tyrann Mathieu put it is like, hey, we need to catch the ones he throws to us. And he's kind of joking, but at the same time, he's not. Like, you can trust Jameis to give you opportunities. You have to take advantage of them. You look at that Ravens game. Yeah, no interceptions, but the Ravens got hit in the chest by two balls that they dropped on defense. If they make those interceptions, they win that game. You don't make
totally
those interceptions,
right.
You lose that game. It can be that close, and I think it will be that close. So if and when Jameis gives you those opportunities to pick them off, the Saints defenders need to do that. And Alante Taylor, if I have one major criticism of Alante Taylor since he started on the outside, it's like you've had opportunities to make plays. You just haven't done it. You haven't finished off those plays. You had two against the Panthers. Should have been interceptions. You settled for a PBU. You had two pass interference penalties and a hold against the Falcons when I felt like you were in good position. They had two big completions, one to Darnell Mooney, one to Kyle Pitts. And it was like you can't play better coverage than that. You just didn't make the final. You didn't finish off the play. And so, to me, that's where this Saints defense, if they want to really put their mark on this game, they not only have to play well, but they have to take advantage of the turnover opportunities, the takeaway opportunities that are presented to them.
You mentioned Alante Taylor. Now, CB1 for this team with Paulson Adebo, Marshawn Lattimore, now gone. Alante Taylor taking over that spot, and here's what Joe Woods had to say about the corner.
He was up and down. Obviously, he had his struggles. It was good to see him finish the game. You know, and every year you're going to have a game or two that it didn't go your way. But I think the growth from him was on the sideline. How he dealt with the issues, we talked him through. He talked to some of the veteran guys, you know, got his head together and went back out and did some good things. But I definitely want more consistency out of him. Obviously, eliminate the penalties and eliminate the big plays.
How do you notice, like, that difference on the sideline? Is it he's just not yelling as much or not as animated? Like, well, what does he do differently that you notice that guy's, like, different?
Yeah, it's just like if you're upset, somebody's going to know. So it's just one of the things you know. And the thing is, you got to, you know, playing football, you got to let it go. You know, everything's not going to go your way, but you can't let that play affect the next play. And that was really what I was trying to get him just to calm down, go back out, and just rely on technique.
Is there almost some, like, I don't know if rust is the right word, but, like, because he had been inside for so long, like, now, like, the season when he's on the outside, like, is there any Is there like, are you seeing that transition differently?
It's a little bit different out there. Like you said, if you're inside, you got space on both sides. But outside, you know what you're dealing with. You're dealing more of the vertical concepts, different type of route trees. And he's fine. He can do it. Yeah, he just got to really wire into the technique and the details.
Alante Taylor obviously getting that start at outside corner last week, and you know it's the spot he wants to be in and thrive in. It was a little bit of a roller coaster in last week's outing against the Falcons.
It definitely was. And one thing that Joe Wood said there that I definitely agree with, just from my own observations from the sideline,
is how he's handling
those situations. And I 100% agree, because I was out there last year in against the Rams when he got benched, and you know you could see it on his face, you could see it in his body language. It wasn't going well. And he was letting that affect him. And he was letting one mistake become two mistakes and three mistakes and four mistakes, to the point that you had to sit the guy down and be like, dude, chill. We're going to go to somebody else and we're going to work on this and we're going to come back next week and figure it out. So last week, after some of those mistakes, you know, the big play to Darnell Mooney is frustrating, right? The penalties are frustrating, but you just saw a guy that just came over to the bench, you know, kind of looked at the pictures, kind of talked to his coaches. Like, you didn't see a guy who was still thinking about those plays before that. He was thinking about, okay, what am I going to do next? And that's what you have to do, especially as a cornerback. You're not going to win every rep. It's impossible. But you can't allow those reps you lose to lose you more reps. And I just felt like I agree. Like, that was when we talked about it on Monday when we did our post-game pod of, like, I really appreciate that how he's handling the adversity this year, as opposed to maybe how he handled it at some points last year.
And because, maturity.
Because when you mature and you do that, that's how you grow and you become better as a player, right? So I think we will see Alante, as things go on, continue to improve and make some of these bigger plays and make these game-changing plays the way Tyrann Mathieu has made a career out of making game-changing plays. He's just not there yet. And that's why when you go to him on the outside after 2 years of saying, let's figure out if you can play a nickel. Like, let's see if you can learn how to play this position and not your natural position that you feel like is your future in the NFL. And he's committed to that. And you give him a lot of credit for that. And now you shift him outside and it's like, well, it would be nice if I had been doing this all training camp, right? It would be nice if this wasn't just, hey, let's figure it out now. But this is an opportunity. He has to take advantage of it, because I think next year and beyond, you're going to be looking at Alante and saying, are you the number one corner, right? Are you the guy that we're going to build this secondary around, and not, you know, maybe a piece of a secondary that we have to go and draft in the first round? And he's also going into his fourth year. He doesn't have a fifth-year option. He was a second-round pick. So if you maybe want to extend the guy in the preseason, these are the games he has to earn that extension in. So these are important for him, and I'm hopeful that this is kind of one of those coming-out parties in terms of, you know, showing that he has what it takes as that lead outside corner.
Well, having Kool-Aid and McKinstry back in the mix, too, yep. And you kind of think you're going to have that pairing of Alante and Kool-Aid, and that's obviously what you could see in the future for this black and gold bunch.
Yeah, and this is – I mean, and here's the thing. We don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And these are the games that we're going to find out if you do have your kind of starting tandem for next year and beyond, or if you have two quality defensive backs. Like, these guys are good. These guys are quality players. But are they the ones you're going to lean on? And that's what we're going to learn. And you know, Kool-Aid's going to make mistakes. He's a rookie. You have to kind of look between that. You have to read between the lines and see, okay, is he where we need a guy to be at this point in his career? And where can you develop? And you know, I thought he had a rough day against the Chargers the last time he was out there.
Right.
He started and he was out of position a few times. Like, he just got beat. And, you know, so did he learn from that? Has he improved from that? He's had a lot of time to kind of, stew on some of those mistakes and some of those issues and learn from them. He hasn't played either the last 2 weeks with that hamstring injury he suffered in practice. So, you know, we'll see. And I expect him to be out there. He is questionable, so we're not sure. I think Nick Underhill, NewOrleans.Football, just reported that Pete Werner is expected to be active. So they're at least going to give him a go.
With the club
and see how he handles that. You know, Shamar John Charles is the other guy that has been starting across from Alante Taylor. And I think he's handled things well. So, you know, I think this is a situation where you go to Kool-Aid, and if he's not getting it done, you have to be ready to pull the trigger and maybe make a switch there.
What's going to be interesting, another matchup in this game, is the offensive line of the Saints going up against this Browns front. I know you got to talk with Trevor Penning a little bit. We're going to take a break and come back with that, hear what he had to say. Some, you know, positive vibes at least surrounding him. And you got to give the guy credit considering how much negative – was piled on him going into this season between the injuries and not living up to the hype. So we'll hear from Trevor Penning and Jeff Nowak when we get back right after this on First Take. Stay tuned here on WWN.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into First Take, folks. We're getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. Then it's a noon start here in the Caesar Superdome between the Cleveland Browns and the New Orleans Saints. The Browns just 2-7 on the season and the Saints 3-7. So we'll see who ends up prevailing in a matchup that there's at least more positivity restored for the Saints Nation. Darren Rizzi, a big part of that, obviously a new energy, a new feeling. And obviously snapping that 7-game skid, helpful to the coaching staff, the players, and for sure the fans and us as well, because it ain't easy for, talking about losing football back-to-back to all these, straight weeks. It kind of gets you down in the dumps, man.
Yeah, my philosophy from a fan perspective, this has always been how I've approached it, whether I've been here, whether I've been, where I grew up. I always want to believe the best case scenario until the best case scenario is no longer available to me. So, like, when you look at this and you say, hey, are the Saints going to win out, win their final eight games, and make it to the playoffs? Almost certainly no. What is the percent chance?
But there's got to be a little bit of hope there.
But my philosophy in terms of being a sports fan is you got to ride the ride. The whole point of the ride is to ride the ride. If you get on the ride halfway through, like, yeah, you had it. You know what the end of the ride was like, but the beginning of the ride is often the most fun part of the ride, and you missed out because you were worried about, hey, what if the ride isn't fun? And then once you figure out the ride was fun, but the fun part already happened. Like, if you bought Bitcoin this week, you didn't get much from it. You start watching a romantic comedy halfway through. You're like, well, I'm glad they ended up together, but there was no conflict. We didn't figure out why. Anyway, so until they give me a reason to stop believing that they're going to go 8-0 and make the playoffs, my addled sports fan brain is going to be like, why not us? Because here's the thing. Will that happen? Almost certainly no. But if it does happen, I want to enjoy every second of it. And in order to do that, you have to enjoy games like this where you're sitting there being like, they're definitely not going to win out. But what if they win today? Then go on a bye and then come back and host the Rams. Maybe they beat the Rams. It's a 4-5 team. They're not great.
Why not us, right?
So that's how I look at it. And you can call me crazy.
Crazy.
What's the point of being a sports fan if you're not a little bit crazy?
You know who's crazy and always fun? Jimmy and Gretna, who's on the line ready to talk to us. What you got for us this morning, Jimmy?
Hey, man. Hey, look, I'm looking at the prices here. I'm thinking of going to see the Jabu Bowl. Jameis Winston's back. And congratulations to him. I don't blame him for trying to go to greener pastures, get a chance to play. He was the first overall pick with Tampa. It didn't work out. Came here, waited. But, yeah, you got tickets right now on the secondary market, guys, for like $12. All right? Last week, Atlanta brought a lot of fans, but Cleveland's not. So, yeah, a comment and a question is, number one, do you guys think the Saints fans are going to boo or cheer for Jameis Winston, Jabu Winston, as they call him, his own nickname on his Twitter handle? And another comment. Hey, look, congratulations to Trevor Penning. All right. You know, he hasn't gotten hurt this year. He's developed. And look, he's not a Pro Bowler, but he's getting better. He's building confidence. It just shows you the power of good coaching and getting the opportunity. And look, we play to win the game. There is still an outside chance at the playoffs. Rizzi's bringing that energy, and I hope we win. I know some people want us to tank for a draft pick. That may or may not work out come the draft day. We don't know. But and then I'll take it a step further, guys. You look at Zach Bond, a guy we cut bait on too early, and he's killing it with the Eagles. I just want to get your take on Penning and Bond and guys that we, you know, drafting guys and development. I want to get your take on that. And congratulations again to Jameis Winston. I plan to cheer him on. I don't want them to win the game. But what do you guys see? Do you see us booing him or cheering for him?
Thank you, Jimmy. Hope to see you at the Jabu Bowl today.
We can kind of knock those down one by one. Right. First, I think it's pronounced Jabu. I think that's how you go. Like Jabu wins.
Jabu.
Yeah. But, okay, so I think they're going to cheer. I don't think any fan would have – why would you boo Jameis
before
Winston?
Kickoff, sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you would boo him at any point other than, like, you know, maybe they're going to yell. They're going to try to inflect, you know, maybe the yells during the game that are intended to disrupt the offense that he's trying to run will have boos involved there. But there will be I don't know why you would be in the fans and be like, Jameis. Like, he didn't – he stayed here much longer than he – like, he could have left before last season. He stayed here because he wanted to stay. Like,
yeah.
He loves the city. He probably didn't – I don't think he wanted to leave. But – obviously, his course had been run here, and definitely when you run a, you know, you go rogue on the coaching staff and run a, you know, a fullback dive out of the
seals
victory
the
formation,
deal, right.
That kind of seals the deal for you. But no, I don't think there'll be any boos.
I don't think there'll be to start the game at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe if he does something weird and you know, makes the crowd mad at him, but hey, we'll see. I didn't think they were going to boo Will Lutz either, but they did that.
No, hopefully we get plenty of Jameis cheers because he's throwing interceptions to Tyron.
Oh yeah, right. I'll cheer for that. What a throw! What a completion! But you know, just to move on to Trevor Penning.
Right.
I don't want to use the word congratulations. That's the part of it that the only thing Jimmy said that I don't agree with is saying congratulations, Trevor Penning, because congratulations would imply that it's like you've arrived.
Yeah.
You're where you need to be, and he would be the first one to tell you he is not where he needs to be ultimately. I know Mickey came on WWL, said something similar. Clint Kubiak said something similar. Like, if you ask John Benton, he would say the same thing. It's like he is along the path you needed him to go. And when we were talking about Trevor in the preseason, the question was, can you survive him?
Right.
Like, can you actually get through a full season with him and have him not torpedo the season? I don't think anyone looks at this year. Like, if you kind of spent the first half of the season under a rock and came out and found yourself staring at whatever record the Saints had, would you not, like, if that person from the preseason, like, teleported to the future, wouldn't they say, Trevor must be terrible. Like, Trevor must be the reason. Like, no, it's actually everything else that's been terrible. And I think that's where you go. Like, so, you know, I talked to Trevor this week, and, you know, he feels like he's making progress in the right direction. You know, does he still have issues he needs to iron out? Absolutely. He's been a few too many penalties. I think pass pro gets away from him. He's had some good games, some bad games. He's coming off of what Darren Rizzi said was probably his best game of his career.
That's major.
So that's important,
right.
You know, and just to have those positive moments so that you can look back when you are struggling and say, no, this is where it was. This I'm capable of doing this. That's important. But I hesitate to say congratulations because it's definitely not a congratulations situation.
You mentioned and I mentioned your sit down with Trevor Penning, and here it is as we get ready for the Browns to take on the Saints here in the Superdome. Trevor Penning with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak.
I think earlier in the season, talking about, hey, you pick like something every day you want to work on, and you improve on that, and you pick something else. Is that still your process in week 11, or is that change as you get this far into the season?
Yeah, I think every day I have something in my head that, you know, I watch on film from, you know, the last game or the last practice that I want to improve on, and I work with that every day. I try to, you know, mentally think about it in practice. You want to really work on that so it becomes a habit. So,
is there stuff at this point that, you know, you've worked on it enough that you feel like, okay, I've got that and I move on to something else? Or do you always kind of have to loop back around, and especially with technique, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it kind of is, it kind of becomes, I don't want to say it. You still think about it, I think, but you try to you try to make it a habit, basically, after doing, you know, working that technique for so long, becomes a habit, and then you can kind of be like, oh, okay, I got this, I'm going to do this, you know, every time without almost thinking about it. That's really what you want to do. And so you kind of just train yourself to make it, you don't have to think about it as much. So,
gotcha. So John Benton, obviously it's your first year working with him, but the thing that he, I think, talks about a lot is just being a teacher as a coach, right? Like, you're coaching but you're teaching at the same time. Has that been helpful? How has it been working with him this year in terms of getting that kind of development that maybe was elusive last year?
I think he's been great. I think, you know, not only me, but the whole line, I think we all, you know, really appreciate having him. I think he's a great coach, great teacher. Brings a lot of knowledge, and you know, having him, he knows what he's doing, and he's, you know, a very smart guy, and it's great having him.
So you have the you know, distinction of being one of the few players on offense that had to play in all seven losses. There's a lot of guys missed a game or two. How taxing was that, losing seven games in a row, and how refreshing was it to get a win and kind of push things in the right direction?
Obviously losing seven straight is not what you want, or it's not fun. It's not fun coming back in here after a loss, and it's just, the mood's not great. It's not fun. But, you know, winning on Sunday, that was, you know, it was a good feeling for sure. Just like all that hard work that we're doing during the weeks, it pays off, and you know, it's a very good feeling.
So when you are trying to develop like that and then you keep losing, is it tough to kind of keep that perspective of like, I feel like I'm moving in the right direction even if we're losing, or how do you balance that?
I mean, I just kind of think about it every week. I mean, obviously we're not winning, so I got to do something better. And, you know, there's always something you can improve on. And, you know, I'm just thinking, kind of stacking up the days and keep working. I mean, just, you kind of have that, like, 24-hour rule where you kind of, you know, you watch the game, you kind of pissed off about it almost. You're not happy with the result, but you just got to keep fighting through, and you know, eventually it's going to pay off. So that's kind of what it was. I mean, you just got to keep fighting, put your head down, put your hard hat on, and go to work.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thank you.
That was Jeff Nowak with Trevor Penning, and I think obviously a big thing you have to recognize is that confidence has starting to get restored with Penning, because it was definitely taken away, and you could tell he was lost.
Yeah, that was the biggest issue for me in the preseason. When you saw a guy that was going out there looking like, as like he wasn't sure how he was going to lose, but he knew he was going to lose, and he was just like, I wonder how it's going to happen this time. And, you know, when you watch him on film, the thing that's the most positive that stands out is he's winning reps, you know, and he's not winning every rep, but it's not just like, hey, okay, you have neutral reps and you have lost reps. Like, there are clean wins in there, too. I thought he handled Matt Judon last week as well as he's handled anybody. And that's the thing. Like, you can survive some lost reps if you're also winning reps and adding value. It's also, you can also tell, like, he's identifying things out there. He's seeing things for the second, the third, the fourth time. And that's something that you cannot gain unless you play. And that was always going to be the question for me, is how you know, stalwart were the Saints going to be in sticking with him through struggles and allowing him to develop, because that's the only way that you're going to find a player and find and develop into someone that you can look at as maybe your right tackle of the future. And here's the thing. I don't know if he's necessarily sewn up that job. You know, wherever the Saints end up picking, if you're in a position to draft a star tackle, you're going to still do that. But I think what you've gotten with Penning is you're now looking at that as a position. Like last year, the Saints went into that draft, and sure, Tali Fuaga might have been the guy they were targeting, but if it was Olu, Fashanu, it didn't really matter. Like, they had to draft a tackle in the first round because you didn't know if they had one, let alone two, because you knew Ryan Ramczyk probably wasn't going to play. And so they were kind of, you know, stuck. Like, they lucked out into a guy that they really liked being available for them at where they picked. Was it 12? But you didn't know that was going to be the case. And if you ended up in a situation where the best player available wasn't that tackle, you probably would have still had to take the tackle. And I think Trevor's development this year is going to put you in a scenario where you're going to go into that draft and you're going to be looking, hey, what's the best option? Can we take a defensive end, right? Can maybe take a quarterback, because you don't feel desperate to fill that right tackle spot. And you got to give Trevor a lot of credit. Like, he got a lot of grief. He knows it.
Right.
He knows he had a target on his back. He knows he was under a microscope all preseason. And you know, he's done what he had to do, and you know, we'll see how it goes from here. If he gets just train wrecked by the Browns defensive line and lets up three sacks today, we're not going to be talking about how great Trevor's looked. But it's nice to see some development from him.
Massive test there for sure. I want to remind everybody the New Orleans Saints partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. Make sure you check that out. We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, we'll get into even more of what this matchup against the Brown means and hear some of Deuce McAllister's comments on the keys to a victory. Coming back right after this, so stay tuned here on WWL. Here on First Take, it is Jarry Evans Day. At halftime, he will be unveiled his name in the Ring of Honor for the Saints here in the Caesar Superdome as the Black and Gold take on the Cleveland Browns. A noon kickoff coming up with Hoss and Deuce on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Talking about Deuce, he talked about on Friday this matchup against Cleveland and evaluated the play of Jameis Winston. Here's what he said.
Well, he's not a guy that wants to run. He's not a guy that they're going to go out there and they're going to RPO with. But Jameis will step up in the pocket if you're going to play two-man and the linebacker's not going to respect him. He will take off and run. He is a guy that's going to sit in the pocket, and he is a guy that's going to trust his arm. He is a guy that does not like any throw. He likes them all, even if they're covered. He is going to trust his guy, and it will be on the Saints to say, we will either make the interception, we will make the incomplete, or you're going to catch it.
And on an overall, Deuce evaluates this matchup against the Saints and Browns and leads off talking about running back Nick Chubb.
Just to be able to still play football, I mean, Nick has suffered some major injuries to both knees. I mean, it's almost like Willis McGahee when he tore both of his knees. And so the only question I have for him is what type of top-end speed, because he's going to normally get you four. He's normally going to get you four. He was always reliable for four, and then it's just a powerful. I mean, it's you better tackle. I mean, because he will bring it, and he's a load to bring down. And so a heck of a player. Offensive line-wise, I've probably been surprised that they hadn't been as dominant all up front. And I don't know if that was, you know, because of the quarterback and not necessarily just Jameis, because he hadn't been. It was Deshaun playing as well. But with no run game, it's tough when any offensive line has to be able to pass block and pass block and pass block. I mean, eventually it's just going to break. And so for the Saints, you know, I was talking to a fan earlier, like, all right, what do you look like? Saints have to run play action. They've got to be able to run it a little, but you have to. You can have a lot of success against this team with play action pass, and that's they don't play. It's all or nothing with them. You know, they're either going to stop you completely, or with play action, you can beat them with some chunk plays down the field. Defensively, it's like you talked about. You've got to hit Jameis. Right. One, you've got to take the run away, but you've got to hit Jameis. You've got to get him off the spot. We know that they're traded their top, one of their top receivers. You've got to stop Njoku, the tight end, as far as, you know, being a weapon. But here's the thing that I'm intrigued by. Since we cover the Saints, we know the Saints aren't, quote unquote, tanking, so to speak. Because if you're tanking,
it's not in their DNA.
Well, yes, but you would feature a lot more younger guys. You don't see that with the Saints. They're playing younger guys, but I don't think it's more because they want to.
It was a need.
It was a necessity.
Right.
I don't know if Cleveland is in that same situation. I don't know if Cleveland is saying, hey, we're going to play a lot of young guys because we want to see what we have, and we know we're probably moving on with, you know, X, the head coach, and we're moving this player. I don't know if they're in the same situation.
False start on Steve, Mike Hoss, and Deuce McAllister there talking a little bit about this matchup, Saints and Browns. You know, that was a name we didn't bring up, Jeff. David Njoku, definitely someone you got to be concerned about, especially this Saints team who has struggled against tight ends. And, boy, Njoku is a big one.
No question. And, you know, he's one of the few first-round tight end draft picks over the last, like, 6 or 7 years that's actually on the team that drafted them. Well, I mean, some of them have panned out. They've just panned out for other teams, right? Like T.J. Hockenson, he's a good tight end. He's on the Vikings, right? You know, a few others in that list as well. But, you know, before we go here, one guy I want to make sure we mention, he got called up today for the second consecutive week. week, Kevin Austin Jr.
Right.
And one thing Darren said after the game was, hey, okay, so, you know, one of the reasons we looked at Kevin Austin this week is the veteran players came up to me and was like, hey, we want to give this guy a chance. I asked Derek Carr about that. We don't have enough time to get into the clip, but basically said, like, no, the amount of work he's been doing, and you can see it behind the scenes, and it's tough for a practice squad player to make that impact. And Clint Kubiak talked about it as well. Like, he's out there running carded looks, right? Like, his job is to run the best route possible so the defense gets the best rep against the coverage that they think they're going to have to play, or the routes they're going to have to play in this matchup. And so that's really how he makes his presence felt, and he's been winning those matchups.
We're going to take a break and wind things down right after this, so stay tuned here on First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off with the Cajun Cannon coming up. Be right back after this. Winding things down here on First Take, Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off with the Cajun Cannon. You can stop by. We are in Gate B. At the atrium in the
Loge level.
Thank you. There's so many different words I had to put together there.
I don't even know what a loge is, really, but I know it.
I know how to say that, right.
Yeah.
Looking at this game, Jeff, how are you feeling about today? You still get that Riz factor about you, the energy going into the matchup?
I'm feeling good. I just want to finish off that point on Kevin Austin.
Kevin Austin, yeah.
Because, you know, he's a guy that he's been working on the background all season, and one of the things Derek said that I agree with, you look at him, is like, this dude's built. This dude's an NFL-looking wide receiver, whether he's an NFL wide receiver or not. He's 6'2", 210. He runs a 4.4 40, and somehow he was out of the NFL. And so, you know, I thought he played really well last week in his limited opportunity. And there was a rep on Alvin Kamara's long screen pass that he comes in motion. He's already run 40 yards. He gets a perfect, I wouldn't say perfect, but a good block on A.J. Terrell to free that run up. And then, you know, A.J. kind of gets loose and starts running after the play. And you know, a wide receiver could easily just be like, all right, I did my job. Right. Instead, he sprints downfield and he finishes off that block. A.J. Terrell was probably like, what the heck? Why is this guy glued to me? And those are the type of plays that get you opportunities. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do out there. And, you know, there's opportunity to be had in this wide receiver room, man.
For sure.
So, you know, if he has another strong performance today, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to find a roster spot for him. And he becomes a piece that this team leans on down the stretch of the year. So those are the stories that are fun in a season like this where so much has gone awry. And that's why I want to see this team kind of find, okay, do you have young players? Or do you have guys that can step into an opportunity and maybe become something?
Right.
And he's one of those players for me.
I think, one, two, a lot of folks are waiting to see do some action in an actual game is Mason Tipton, who we heard so much all before heading into the season, and he just really hasn't been able to put that on the field just yet.
Yeah, it's been a little frustrating because he's had opportunities, and that's why, you know, when a guy shows up like Kevin last week and he takes advantage of those opportunities, you give him credit for that. Now, I think Mason could develop into something down the road. My problem is I don't see how he fits across from MVS. If MVS is your deep threat, I don't know how much Mason offers you, and just because he's a smaller guy and this is an offense that needs the receivers to block. So if I have MVS as my deep guy, I'd rather have a guy like Kevin Austin who can be a little more physical, or even a Cedric Wilson.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Mason's opportunities dry up a little bit as long as MVS's opportunities grow. But I know they are high on him down the road. They do like Mason Tipton. It's not like, oh, we're giving up on him. He's an UDFA. He's learning. But we'll have to see. Someone's going to have to step up in this wide receiver room.
Yeah, and talking about stepping up, we need somebody, I'm thinking, besides a Taysom or an Alvin Kamara in the run game. Can Jordan Mins give you a little bit more, you know, play in the run game?
We'll see, but I want to see this be a strong Taysom game. I think Clint got a little away from him that part of the playbook last week.
And I feel like I'm constantly asking for too many carries for Taysom.
Well, I think Clint is still in the process of learning how to use Taysom. And I think you look at that game and you say, hey, we couldn't run the ball in the second half. Why didn't we get Taysom more involved? I'd like to see them get Taysom involved early and often in this game and see how that goes for him.
We're getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on First Take. Jeff, have a great call on the sideline. We'll be hearing for you during the game action when kickoff comes at noon with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister right here on WWL Saints Radio. Coming back with more right after this.
Who dat?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.